Amen. So we're going. I've been going through the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to continue to go through Hebrews chapter 11. Today, I want to deal with one verse, because such is Hebrews chapter 11, what some call the Hall of Faith. I want to deal with one verse of Scripture. We'll pray, and then we'll go through this. Father, I thank you, Lord, for time together, just waiting on you and in song and contemplating and letting your word run through our heart and through our minds, just being moved on by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray, Lord, that that would continue now, Lord, in that we would worship the Lord with all of our heart, soul, with all of our mind, that our mind would be engaged today, Lord, as we hear the word of God, as we hear the word of the Lord. Holy Spirit, speak to us, preach and teach, Lord. You're the teacher. Give us understanding, open up the eyes of our heart, cause us, Lord, to understand what you're saying to us, Lord. Speak to each one of your children, Lord, I pray, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, this message, I've titled The Eye of Faith, The Eye of Faith. We've looked at the patience of faith, the blessing of faith, the test of faith, the patience, I said that already. Today I want to look at the eye of faith is what I've entitled it as we look at Hebrews chapter 11. I only want to deal with verse 23. But let me say this first. The writer of Hebrews is taking the Jews through a bit of a historical lesson of those whom God used to do great things because of their faith, right? So when you read Hebrews chapter 11, you read things like by faith, Abel offered to God. Abel did something because of the faith that he had, okay? So what we get out of that is this, is that if you're a person of faith, faith is going to cause you to do something. Hallelujah. Faith going to cause you to do something, right? Now, faith will get you something too, okay? But what we want faith to get you is what God wants faith to get you, right? So faith going to get you something. But we see by faith Abel offered, by faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God and by the elders gave a good report or a good testimony, right? By faith Noah being warned of God of things not yet seen prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He prepared an ark. Amen. Every parent is supposed to prepare an ark for the safety of their family. Amen. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. By faith, Enoch was translated. He was not. And the scripture says that he had, before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it's the. Do you know why you have faith? Because God gave it to you so that you could please him. Hey, I'm telling you, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Ah, God is, right? He is. And so by faith, it goes on. By faith, Abraham offered, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, Sarah conceived seed when she was yet old. By faith, it goes on and on and on. And so when you look at what the writer is doing, you have to come to this understanding. He is talking to some Jewish believers, some Hebrew believers, and he's telling them about how all these people did something with their faith. That's what he wanted those believers to do. He wanted them to do something with their faith. Do something with this faith that you've been given. Now, the principal thing, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 10, he said this. He says, cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. He said, because he said, the just shall live by faith, but those who draw back unto perdition, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. He said, but I'm persuaded of better things than you. He says, I believe that you're going to keep a hold of your faith because God has given you faith for a reason, right? And so so he's telling these Hebrew believers, it's very simple what he wants them to do. He says, I want you to hold on to the faith that God has given you. hold on to your faith. And that, you say, well, is that what he, yeah, that's what he wants the Hebrew believers to do. Don't let it go. That's very important. You say, holding on to your faith is very, oh, yeah, that's very important. Remember what Job's wife said to him? Said, why don't you curse God and die? Get this thing over. See, if you curse God, you can't believe God. At the same time, you're cursing him. And Job was trusting in it. It was Job 13:15 where he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job said, I ain't about to throw away my faith. I'm not about to throw away my faith. No, he says, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on to my integrity. I'm going to keep believing God. And the Hebrew writer was saying to these people, don't throw away your faith, which has great recompense of reward. All right, so God gives us faith. 1 Peter 1:9 tells us that the end of, you talk about a reward. The end of your faith is the salvation of your souls. That's the end of your faith. Beloved, you can't know God, you can't enjoy God without the salvation of your soul, without being saved. That's the reason why God gave us faith. Above all, that's the reason he gave us faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This whole thing is not of us. It's of God. So we boast in God, right? All right. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 reads this way. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, or a goodly child, your translation may say, or a special child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, now when it says by faith, Moses, it's not talking about that Moses had faith. Just recognize that for a moment. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden by his parents. No, oh, my Lord. Oh. See, we're talking about the eye of faith. And so his parents saw something. When he was born, he was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. I like what one commentary says about this verse of scripture. It says, whilst Pharaoh was urging forward the extermination of the Israelites, God was preparing their emancipation. Listen to that. While Pharaoh was urging forward the extermination of the Israelites, God was preparing for their emancipation, of their deliverance. According to the divine purpose, the murderous edict of the king was to lead to the training and preparation of the human deliverer of Israel. This is the wonderful thing about knowing God, walking with God, about God. Somebody can be planning your demise and your destruction. All we got to do is think about Esther and Haman. Somebody can be planning to tear you apart on the one hand. But on the other hand, God is using this. He's using what they're doing to lift you up and not tear you down. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. And so, you know, we see when Haman was having the gallows built to hang Mordecai on, he was actually building the gallows for himself. That's what God does. Only God can do that. And you, and some people get all riled up about elections. Oh, we can't elect that person. We can't elect that person. We can't do this. And I'm sitting there going, for real? Hello? Hello? Is not God in charge of this whole thing? Is he bigger than everything? Read the book of Daniel. For it says that the kingdom of heaven rules in the kingdom of men. it has authority over. And so we need not be, losing sleep, getting all emotion, frothing at the mouth, and, you know, just carrying on. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, no. No, what we need to do is to set our gaze toward heaven and understand that he's ruling over all. Listen, nothing comes into your life but that it has to pass through him. Can I go somewhere all by myself and have a shout? Do you know what that means? Sometimes I've been driving down the road and a thought like that crossed my mind. I go, oh, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Because what that means is that he's caring for me before anything comes to me. That means whatever comes to me, I don't have to be worried about it taking me out, not unless he wants it to. And if he wants it to, beloved, there ain't nothing you can do to stop it. Anyhow, you may as well roll with it. Amen. You better get with it. Lest happily we fight against God, Gamaliel told, you know, the Sanhedrin. Listen, if it's God, there's nothing you can do to stop it. Huh? Come on. Hey, the scripture says that there's no wisdom, understanding, or power against the Lord. You cannot do anything with his counsel. If he wants it to be, thus it will be. It's going to be. It's a done deal, right? So we need to just give in to it. All right. So in this scripture, Moses didn't have faith, for he was a babe. It was his parents' faith exhibited here, for Moses was hidden as a babe by his parents. So when we look at this passage of scripture, right now, verse 23, we are looking at the faith of Moses' parents. This shows the effect that parents' faith can have on their child. I'm going to say that again. This shows the effect that a parent's faith can have on their child. Moses was helpless. Huh? Parents, have you ever seen your child helpless besides when they were born? Are children ever helpless besides when they're born? Yes. Can you imagine, Friday I was walking home from work and I saw this couple on our street where they were walking into the house, and this little boy, he had to have been 2, 3, he's running away from his parents, screaming. He's just screaming. He don't want to go in the house and do what they want him to do. And mother just said, 1, 2, she wasn't riled or anything. She just started counting loud enough so that he could hear. And the father just turned around and said, you know what, you can go to bed. And I just thought to myself, I looked at this little child, and all of a sudden, it dawned on me, That's us. He wasn't getting what he wanted. So he was running, screaming, veins popping, like he was going to do something. Yeah! And I thought to myself, that's us. And I thought, now, he's helpless unless the father and the mother do something to help him. And I'm sure they helped him along. We're going to help you understand some things here, son. But in this passage of scripture, Moses was helpless. When Moses became of age, he was expected to have faith in God for himself. And next week, we're going to look at that because that's exactly what Moses did, right? He was responsible. He had a relationship with God himself. But at this point, Moses was being affected by his parents' faith. In other words, while somebody or something is trying to kill your child, God, through you or someone else, is preparing for their deliverance. Huh? Because this is exactly what was going on with Moses. While something or somebody is trying to kill your child, God, through you or someone else, is preparing for their deliverance. Because that is what was going on when Jochebed and forget the husband's name, had this child. So they had this child, and here they are. And the scripture says that they looked at the child, says that because they saw, when you go back to Exodus chapter 2, it says when she saw, when Jochebed looked at her son, she saw that he was a goodly child, or beautiful, handsome, or goodly child, special child. That they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The scripture simply says when they saw what type of child this was, and then scholars go back and try and ascertain and try and figure out now, okay, what was it about Moses? What was it about Moses? One scholar said, we know he was good looking because when Pharaoh's daughter looked at him, even she said, oh no, take this child and nurse him for me. Now, you can imagine if this had been some child that was, you know, like maybe partially deformed, or, you know, they would have tossed that child. Come on, it's sad, but it's true, right? So let's see here. In Exodus chapter 2, it says, so the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. So when she looked at Moses, when the father looked at Moses, they saw that something was different, okay? So God's work of making Moses a beautiful, special, or godly child set in motion his parents' faith in hiding him. God's work, I say God's work because God is the author and the finisher of our faith. If man has faith, it's because God has done something, first and foremost. God is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. Man does not have faith apart from God. And if God hadn't put a special mark on this child, if he hadn't done something significant, this child may have not ended up where he did. But God did something first, right? Every godly parent wants every child of theirs to live. That's simply parental love, right? How much more than when God physically marks a child? They looked at this child, they knew something in them was like, this child is different. I mean, Miriam was born first. Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. This was their third child. Come on, your firstborn is usually your strongest, right? But this is their third child. And yet this child, there's something special about this child. So God initiates this whole sequence. Man's faith always, always, always starts with God. Man's faith always starts with God. He therefore gets the credit, right? Now, we also see in this passage of scripture that it says, because they saw that the child was a beautiful child, it says, and that they were not afraid of the king's command. So their faith caused them to hide the child, but their faith also overcame the fear of man. What does faith do? It overcomes the fear of man. This is very important as we live our life and as we walk in faith before God. Because when we truly believe God, as these parents did, then we will reject the fear of man. Okay? So when you're about to make a decision and someone says, but what will people say? Well, if I'm obeying God, why am I caring about what people say? Huh? You remember, where is this in the Bible? It's all over the place in the Bible, right? So remember Rahab in the Old Testament when the spies came, you know, she looked at her people and she looked at Israel and she said, okay, I'm going Israel. I fear the God of the Israelites. Come on, fellas, hide up here. And now, had she been caught, they would have killed her. But she didn't pay any attention to that. She says, the fear of you has overtaken our city. She says, I'm going to fear God. I'm going to go with you, right? So we jump over to the New Testament. Stephen preaching in Acts chapter 7, and he's preaching to the Sanhedrin, and he's tearing them apart. He's giving them a history lesson and cutting them sharp and everything, and he didn't back down. So much so that they took stones and they stoned him to death. He feared God. He did not fear man. So then we jump to the Acts, to the apostles. the Sanhedrin came to the Peter and John and said, you stop filling Jerusalem with your doctrine. He said, this is not right. You're going to put this man's blood on our hands. And they locked him up in prison. The angel comes, releases him from prison, says, go back into the temple and preach. But Peter then said, but the men told us not to preach, angel. No, they went back into the temple, and they started preaching. Who did they fear and who did they obey? They feared and they obeyed God and not man. And then when the Sanhedrin pulled them out and said, did not we straightly command you not to teach this doctrine in this city? This is what Peter said and all the apostles. They said, and listen, if you think we ought to obey you rather than God, you see to it. You look to it. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to obey God. We're going to fear God. And they began to preach. And they left them alone. They left them alone. And they preached the doctrine, filled Jerusalem. And so much so to when they went other places, they said, the men who have turned the world upside down have come here too. They turned the whole world upside down with their gospel. Why? Because of faith. Because they believed God. Believing God's word. Listen, that's the most important thing that we can do. You say, now, see, I said that too. I look, I said, yes! And then I let that go through me. You know how, see, when God speaks to you, right? Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. And he who hears the word, there are those, they hear the word, and with joy, they receive the word. However, when persecution or temptation arises because of the word, people start half-stepping and backpedaling and everything. Well, see, when God speaks a word, you hear the word and you can receive the word, but then that word has to start going all through you. And that word, because the Bible says as a silver is refined in a furnace, or silver is refined in a furnace refines gold, so the word of God is tried. When the word goes in you and you're a holder of the word of God, the word is tried. That means you heat up. And the word tries you, right? So I have to look, I'd be looking into my life and seeing everywhere where I have to believe the word of God, where I have to receive what God is saying, right? I want to look at that in a second. But let me say this. This passage of scripture about Moses' parents' faith, we can make this application. Other people's faith can have an effect on you. Other people's faith. It was Moses' parents' faith that had an effect on him. And we need to recognize that other people's faith can have an effect on us. That carries both positive and negative, realizations. So I want to look at a case in point. We know it very well, and just read through it, and then we're gonna close it down. Numbers chapter 13. We all know Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to turn there and have a look at this. But it was that time when God was taking his people through the wilderness, and they are in Kadesh Barnea. And they are right across from the promised land. They're about to enter in. And in Numbers 13, it reads, in verse 1, it reads this way, and the Lord spoke to Moses. And I wanted to read this so that we could hear. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Now, it's important that, we know this. Every word, when God speaks a word, right? This is just so, I love this about him. It's just fascinating to me. When he speaks, okay, the word that he speaks, when it comes to you, it brings life. It literally brings life. If you receive it, it brings life. Right? He who has the Son has life. Right? So when he speaks the word, so I don't care what word it is, instruction, whatever it is, whenever he speaks, his word brings life to you and I. So that if we reject his word, Remember what Joshua said, I set before you this day? Death and life. Choose life. We have a choice. You know, any people that the word of God comes to, there's a choice involved because God's given us choice. And so we need to hear it. So it says this, send the men to spy out the land. Listen to what God says, which I am giving. Now, if I came to you and I said, here, Melody, here's my car key. I'm giving you my car. Okay, so I mean, if I say I'm giving you my car, right? What does that mean? I mean, what would that entail? I mean, she just smiled and said, hey, you know, there was a reaction, right? She's like, hey, well, all right, glory, amen. I received it. Yeah, I'm going to take that. Thank you. She didn't even check with me and say, Pastor, you really sure you want to do this? She didn't even go there. She just said, yes, yes. She knows how to receive, okay? God comes to the children of Israel, and he says, I am giving you this land. I'm giving you this land. Now, listen, that's only one. This is one of the words that the Lord gave. We'll get to another one, but let me move on. I'm going to jump down to verse 26, of Numbers 13. And it reads this way. Now, they departed and came back to Moses. So they go and they spy out the land. They departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land because they were told to bring back fruit. And they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. I put in parenthesis there for my own self that, he said, where you sent us, but we know it was really is where the Lord sent them. The Lord sent them there. Okay. And he says this, and this is where the spies are agreeing with the word of God. This is very good. He says, it truly, they say themselves, it's true what God said. It truly flows with milk and honey. So far, so good. You're doing great. Why? Because God says, I'm taking you to a land that flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. This is where it begins to turn south. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the south, Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb, verse 30, quieted the people before Moses. So you can get the picture. The people are getting stirred up now. They're getting excited. Now, wait a second. And you know these people's history, huh? If an ant sneezes, they're running. They're gone. They don't want to fight. They're complainers. They're whiners. I mean, come on, the mixed multitude. This crowd was, and so they're getting all stirred up. Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and listen to what Caleb says. Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able. Can you hear Caleb saying this? He's not going, well, I kind of think we ought to go up now because I kind of think the Lord. No. I believe Caleb is saying, we need to go up right now. Take the land. We are well able. What does he say? He's agreeing with God. He's saying what God said. That's faith, beloved. That's faith. When we say what God says, when we agree with what God says. So Caleb agrees with God's word to the children of Israel. I'm just going to read one, Exodus, one scripture where God said what he would do. Exodus 23, 27, and 28 read this way. This is the Lord speaking. I will send my fear before you. That's what he did at Jericho. When Rahab said, your fear has fallen upon the city. Our hands are like water. We can't do anything. She's telling them, the spies, this. And the Lord did that at Jericho. So he says, I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion, listen, among all the people to whom you come. So what God said. Now, if you can imagine repeating this, you imagine Caleb thinking this. God said, he's going to be confused. We need to go up right now. Let's go take possession. We are well able. Why? God said, I'm going to bring my fear on your enemies. I'm going to cause confusion on all the people whom you come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. Have you ever fought somebody with their back to you? I can tell you this, you would win. You would win 100% of the time, because this doesn't work. I don't know what you, when they got their back to you, it's because they're running away from you. And so God said, I will cause all these people to turn their backs to you. I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, Canaanite, and Hittite from before you. That's just one example of what God said, which gives us an idea of why Caleb was responding the way he was responding. Verse 31 goes on and reads, but the men who had gone up with him said, listen, we are not able. Caleb said, we are well able. But they said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. Now, when they said that, they not only did not have faith, they were in unbelief, and they were actually rebelling against God. Listen, it's totally different. It's not just having faith. What you're saying is, see, what they began to do, they began to call God a liar. They weren't just lacking faith. It's one thing to lack faith. Jesus will help you if you lack faith. It's another thing to rebel against God. If God said you can take the land, and you turn around and say, I cannot take the land. Listen, both of you cannot be true. Somebody is telling the truth, and somebody is telling a lie, and God ain't the one telling a lie. So therefore, if you call God a liar, you must be judged. And that's what God proceeded to do. I'm sharing this story because I just want to say that our faith has an effect. Your other people's faith can have an effect on you. Because we see 10 spies held up a whole generation from going into the promised land. Is that somebody's faith having an effect on you? You better believe it. When I was reading the scripture, I was kind of thinking to myself, way in the back of this crowd, when Caleb was saying, we can go well able, and somebody back there going, I'm with you. But he's way in the back. I'm with you. But the 10 spies, you know, they said, and there's this whole generation, only two. Moses didn't even make it. Come on. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, went in. My goodness. Talk about somebody's faith having an effect on where you're going to end up. That's exactly, this is a negative example, but Moses' parents' faith was a positive example of how their faith had a direct implication on where Moses ended up. And by extension, my faith has some implications on where my children end up. You better believe it. Oh, yes, you better believe it. So, let me finish reading through this. Verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we had gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anakim came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so were we in their sight. Well, you know, if we are in this all alone without God, then sure. What these men said would have been true. We cannot overcome the enemy. But that was not the case. Certainly not the case. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, this was the modus operandi of this group of folk. They were crying in Egypt. Oh, Lord, remember us, help us. Come and lighten these burdens, these taskmasters. It'll be the Lord, help us. When the Lord came and took them out with his outstretched arm, took them out into the desert, I'm going to take care of you. You think the crying stopped. Oh, we ain't got nothing to drink around here. Give me a stone. Moses going to get it this time. They're crying again. And then God smites a rock, and water flows out. Now it's, we need bread. And he gives them bread. That's not that they're crying again. I want some meat, man. I love this bread. I'm getting tired of this stuff. Give me some. God, always crying. Now they're crying about the promised land. All the people wept that night. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where it says, but no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. Okay. Before that, it talks about us not being complainers and murmurers. I'm talking about New Testament now. Complainers and murmurers, adulterers, fornicators, and so forth. Because God destroyed those who did that in the Old Testament. Paul hearkens to that in the New. He points back to it, right? Says, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, if we had only died in the land of Egypt. Here they go again. They're disagreeing with God. God didn't want you to die in Egypt. That's why he came and delivered you, right? He did not want. But they said, if we had only died in the land of Egypt, and then they don't stop there. If we had only died in the desert, in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? So now they start questioning God. Why, Lord? To fall by the sword that our wives, our children should become victims. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out, here they're agreeing with God, is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land. That's a manner of speaking. He was saying the Lord is going to take us into the land, right? To give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. This is important what he says. Verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord. He didn't say, do not belittle in your faith, because that's not what it was. This was not an issue of, I don't have enough faith. Can you just help me out a little bit? Remember the man said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That is, it was more than that. He said, don't rebel, because the Lord has made it very clear to you that we're going in. Now you're rebelling against the Lord if we don't go. For they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And if I could add to it, fear the Lord. Don't fear them. That's what he's saying in saying that. Don't fear them. He's saying fear God, right? And all the congregation, to let you know how bad off they were. This man, you ever had somebody come encourage you and you turn around and want to stone the person encouraging you? Come on, Pastor, get up, man. It's going to be all right. God's able. He's going to help you through. And you turn around, man, I'll smack you. I'll knock you down. What's up with that, right? And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Not the 10 spies, Joshua and Caleb. The boys that believe in God, agreeing with God, let's stone them with stones. Then the glory of God appears. Now, listen, we find that it is very important that God's people believe what he says. It's very important that God's people believe what he says. Look at verse 11. This is the one I wanted to get to. And the Lord, this is Numbers 14 now, I've jumped over to Numbers 14, 11. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe. And so the Lord said, these people reject me. They don't believe what I tell them. Listen, if you don't believe what God tells you, he can't take you where he wants to take you. Very simple. And so Moses' parents saw that he was a special child, and they hid him. Why did they hide him? Because they thought there's something gonna happen with this child. This child is going somewhere. We gotta hide this child. We gotta take care of this child, not just out of parental love, but even more so when they saw this. There's something special about this child. We gotta hide this child. That faith caused them not to be afraid of the king's commandments. Right? And so they hid the child. So God says, how long will they not believe me? And then he says this, with all the signs which I have performed among them. Now, when I read that, I said to myself, Father, do you know, like, if you ever talk to God, you talk to him the way you talk to him, you say, do you know? And I say, well, sorry, I know you know, but let me say this. Haven't you seen a lot of signs? Do you know how many signs I have seen? I watched on a sonogram where the doctor said, see, that pregnancy, that child is dead. It's gone. It's over. I watched it with my eyes. And I watched God reverse it. And now that child who was dead was playing drums today. I watched that. I'm telling you, I've seen signs. I've seen wonders. See, because when I read the scripture, I'm not judging them. That scripture enters me. And when I read that, I say to myself, son, do you believe me? With all the signs that I've showed you, I said to myself, God, you showed me some signs. I'll never forget, I said it a couple of weeks ago, I said it again, when Mary stood here and talked about the financial aid she needed, when Melody was coming and said, pray, I'm trying to get into Mason, I need, and we would pray, and other people, of course, many people pray, and she comes in and says, I got the financial aid. I'm going to, I mean, sign after sign after sign. And this is what I'm saying, nothing. I'd like to believe I've seen enough signs. I mean, I just like to believe. I say, Father, I just trust you. I trust you. I don't care what it looks. I don't care what giant, what have I, what Canaanite standing in my face. I trust I have seen enough. I am going to believe you. I believe you're going to take me through whatever circumstance, whatever problem is in front of me. I believe you're going to take me through. Right? That is what I'm saying. In my spirit, I'm saying, my God, listen, God is utterly faithful. He's absolutely true. God cannot lie and he cannot fail. Listen, if God cannot lie, and we know that he can, we know that it is impossible. That is something impossible for God to do. You know, he cannot lie. God cannot sin. He's utterly faithful. Then, if that's true, and he's given us this, not only that, but his Holy Spirit speaks to us and causes us to know things. Listen, I find myself, I was telling this gentleman this yesterday because he was asking me, Pat, how do you make it? Cleaning this guy, I'm trying to clean, and this dude, it's like we're in a church counseling session because he's following me around. And I'm trying, literally, I go out to the truck to get something, he right behind me. I'm like, dang. I'm like, I come back in, he right there with me. I'm like, Jesus. And I'm praying. I said, Lord, he said, you know. See, sometimes, see, when you go somewhere, the reason why you're there is not always apparent to you. Does anybody feel what I'm saying? Sometimes God takes you somewhere because he's got an agenda. And then sometimes when you get there, you find out what the agenda is. And when I pulled up and he was there, and I knew, cancel it. All your plans, and see, I'm going to roll through this job, you know, and roll down to Arlington, do what I had to do, and roll back up to the shop to get my work done and go home. But when I ran into that, I said, okay, cancel it. All your plans are gone. Because this man needed to hear something. He needed to hear something. And he says, Pat, how do you make it? I said, I'll tell you what, y'all. This is how I find myself every day. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. See, because first when I get up and I'm breathing, thank you, Jesus. When I throw the foot out the bed and I get up, and there's a creak or two, but everything's working. I said, thank you, Father. when I go to work and I pick up something heavy and I still got the strength to do it, I say, thank you, Father. When the phone rings, thank you, Father. When my employee comes to work, thank you, Father. I find myself all day, literally all day long, I find myself saying, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Because I realize that everything I need comes from Him. Literally. Literally. Everything comes from Him. And so, beloved, we don't know how dependent we are. When Daniel said to Belshazzar in Daniel 5:23, he says, and the God whose vessels you're having your little orgy with, and your little party with, he says, that God holds your breath in His hand. He says, that God you have reviled. Huh? And then the writing, you know, came on the wall, and Daniel said, God has numbered your days and ended it. And you see, that night, and this is history. This is Bible, but this is also history. That night, Belshazzar was murdered. His life ended that night. Daniel prophesied it. It's over. But, I don't think we understand. I don't think we know. See, He's our Father. He loves us. But I don't think we know the extent to which every person's breath is in His hand. To appreciate that. To appreciate that. So, have we seen enough signs? Moses' parents saw something in him that caused them to take a step of faith in hiding their son and defying the king's command. They did what faith required of them. If they believed it was God, something had to be done. The Lord rewarded their faith when they could no longer hide Moses. The Lord says, that's all right. You hid him for 3 months. I'm going to hide him for 40 years in Pharaoh's house. That's what God can do. Come on. He said, I'm going to hide him right in the enemy's house. You won't have to worry about a thing. But because you took that step of faith and hid him for that short amount of time, God says, now I'm going to go hide. Listen, God can take your child and hide him. He can hide. You say, but it looks so bad. I mean, but that's the enemy's camp. Don't listen. God is able to keep them in the enemy's camp. He's able to keep them right where they are. What should we do? Trust Him. Trust Him. When Jochebed made that little ark and put pitch in it and put the child in it and told Miriam, they pushed it out. She told Miriam, go watch it. She had to trust God. Come on. Mothers, come on. You first of all, you're sending your child out to the very people that want to kill him. When you push that child, she had to have faith. She had to trust God. And because she did, God protected her child. Amen? May we see with the eye of faith what God is doing in our midst, and may we walk in the will of God then to His glory and for our ultimate good. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Jesus, we bless you. We magnify you. We say there is nobody like you anywhere, oh my God. You are King and you are Lord. You are God of all things. We say we've seen enough. We've seen your hand. We've seen your mercy year after year, month after month, day after day, all day long. We've seen enough, oh God. We believe you and we trust you, oh God, with our lives, without children, without family, without finances, without health, with everything that we own, with everything that we are. We trust you now, O God, and we say, have your way. We say, be glorified, O God. We say, you be God in the midst of all of our circumstances, and we'll give you all the honor. We'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.